The readings today are the suggested lectionary readings for Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of Pentecost. The sermon is entitled No Shoats or Geep, and you'll come to understand why that title is there before the end of the message. At one point, after studying several chapters before Matthew 25, there's a number of parables that really have the same kind of theme for us. It's a call to be ready. Be ready for Christ's return, as this passage does in Matthew 25. I also thought of the title, You Better Be Good and You Better Watch Out. All those titles would have worked. The purpose of sermon titles, I think, is just to get your attention before the message that follows. But Matthew 25, which is the focus of the message today, it's a fascinating chapter. We could stay several hours on this chapter this morning. Would you just stay several hours with me this afternoon and maybe have lunch and come back? And we could go all day. There are two readings then. First is from the Old Testament, Ezekiel. This is a wonderful passage, Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16. It is about God who is the true shepherd. It is the image of a God who is full of grace and full of love, who gathers his family. Listen as I read, the God who gathers. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, our New Testament reading, we read about the judgment of the nations. In contrast with the Ezekiel reading, we read about a God who gathers. And here we have a story of separation. Listen as I read, beginning in chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at the left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as we come to the message. Oh God, you are so good. You will never let us down. You are our faithful shepherd, keeping watch over us. Help us, O Lord, to believe in you as much as you believe and care for us. In Christ's name, amen. There is a certain test I want to describe to you this morning. It is a test that challenges your ability to concentrate. Now, you can find this particular test on the internet if you look it up. It's entitled the Selected Attention Test. The Selected Attention Test. And in the video that you watch in this particular test, there are two teams of people. One team with white shirts, the other with dark shirts. And to test your ability to concentrate, you pick one of the shirted teams and count the number of times that your team passes a ball to one another. The instructions in this test say ignore everything else but your team and how many times they pass the ball to one another. Now, if you follow the white shirts, you're asked how many times did they pass the ball? And if you follow the dark shirts, you're asked how many times did they pass the ball? Now, the team members, they run around on a stage very quickly, and as they run, they pass the ball. So you really do have to concentrate and focus hard on your team because the other team is throwing a ball too and running around at the same time. Then after you guess the number of throws that test your concentration, then you're asked this question. Did you see the gorilla? And most people are so focused on the assignment of counting the times the ball was thrown by their team that they say, what gorilla? And yes, that's the real question on the test. And so you go back and you watch the video again, the selected attention test. And sure enough, halfway through the video, a guy in a gorilla suit walks across the stage. You think, this is a different video, but it's the same video. Who could miss a gorilla? But you know, most people, when they watch that video for the first time, and now you know the gorilla's there, so if you watch it, you'll see it. But most people, if they don't get that clue, they have no idea there's a gorilla walking across the stage. They're so focused. And what we learn from this test is that what we focus on determines what we see. Would you believe that? What you focus on determines what you see. What we are looking for often blinds us to everything else that might be present that we do not see. What we see are usually the things that we expect to see. What we actually see, to go a step further, how we see, is often colored, affected, filtered by so many variables, biases, perceptions, and our own limitations. And I think you believe that too. Here's the application for us today. Jesus cares very much how we see other people. Did you catch the wording in that parable that repeats itself several times? Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty? Or when was it that we saw you a stranger or sick or in prison? When was it? Notice both groups ask that question. The good group, called the sheep, they're just doing what they normally would do anyway, and they discover they're doing it as unto the Lord. When did we see you? They're not doing it to gain a reward. They're just doing what they do. And this Jesus is always trying to help us to see better, to see God's plan, not our plan, God's ways, God's purposes. And so many times, beloved, you know this, so many times we cannot know or we cannot see God's plan, but we have to trust. We have to trust and we have to move forward and often just take a step of faith. Many times take a leap of faith. And I do believe that Jesus wants us to learn how to see more clearly through this story, so we can work with God in healing the fractures that exist in our world, and then move into our lives and moving into the world, moving it closer to what God intends for us and our world. Notice all through Jesus' teachings, we learn what living in sync with God might look like. We went over some of these in our stewardship season. We are to be salt and we are to be light. If we live in sync with Jesus' teachings, we are to love, we are to forgive. We understand that we will reap what we sow. We are called to spread peace and hope and justice and joy. And we will talk a lot about joy in the coming weeks of Advent. And as we learn in Matthew 25, we are for sure called to focus, to see a certain segment of society, the poor and the lame, the hungry and the naked, the stranger and the prisoner, the recipient of a gift off that tree in the cafe. We are here to make a difference. We are to see the world differently. We are to see others as part of our family, to echo the way God referred to those who were weak and injured. These are part of my family. We are not just to assume that we are alone as God's chosen, treasured people. There are others that God calls us to serve. We are here, in other words, to seek to mend as best we can the fractures in our world, a day at a time, an act at a time, as long as it takes, so that the lonely are not alone, so that the poor are not without help, where the cry of the vulnerable is heeded. As one Christian mystic of long ago put it, because this is God's world and because we are God's people, someone else's physical needs are my spiritual obligation. Or as Rosalind Carter once put it, do what you can do to show you care about other people and you will make the world a better place. And by the way, the choice is never between faith and works. It is always our works that faithfully express who we are and what we believe. It is putting Christ back into Christianity. Jesus is trying, you see, in teaching after teaching in the Gospels, especially in Matthew 25, to help us learn to see that works and faith are never separate, though we do not do them to get the reward. But they go together. They are natural, just like those sheep who said, "When did we see you? We do this all the time anyway." I love this. In writing about this great passage, Matthew 25, one of my preaching professors, Tom Long, he writes that all through Matthew, Jesus has been the great teacher. That's the way he's portrayed in the Gospel of Matthew. So many parables, so many teachings. And this is the last parable that he teaches in Matthew's Gospel that's recorded. And in Jesus' final teaching, it becomes a cumulative moment in his teaching ministry. In other words, these are his parting words of teaching. This passage starts out, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory." I spent most of my childhood hearing that passage in teenage years, and now even my adult years, looking up at the horizon on many occasions. "When the Son of Man comes in glory." I look forward to that day. This is the same Jesus who at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, and we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, he was born to Joseph and Mary of all people, surrounded by great suspicion, great mystery, and anxiety, and who as a baby with his parents had to flee for their lives from Herod. This is the same Jesus, we are told in the Gospels, who had nowhere to lay his head. It's the same Jesus who was rejected by his people in his own hometown. And now we learn that all the nations are gathered around him, and he judges as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then here today in this passage, we have Jesus' final teaching about a coming day of judgment. And what does he do on that day? We are told he separates the sheep from the goats. Make no mistake about it, the story reminds us as its hearers, even from so long ago, that just as the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the confessions of the Reformed Church teach, that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. He will return as the King of glory, and there will be, we are told, separation. All the nations will gather, and the sheep will be on his right, and the goats he will separate on the left. Notice there is no middle ground. There are no hybrids. There are no shoats or geep. Just sheep and goat. No goats in sheep's clothing either. You see what he's saying here? At that day of judgment, all the masks come off and the truth comes out. There is no more pretending, there is no more play acting. Sheep are revealed as sheep and goats as goats. And that's not always immediately apparent in this world that we live in, is it? And it will make a difference which group that you're in, because they have different destinations, if you noted that. For the sheep, the news is good. They inherit the kingdom of heaven, because they cared for the Son of Man. As for the goats, they are condemned and cast, we are told, into darkness because of what they did not do. It reminds me of that ancient prayer, "O Lord, forgive me for what I have done, but also what I have left undone." But know with me that this is not just a morality tale. You better be good and you better watch out, and you will receive life. do not do good and you are cast aside. That is a familiar religious truth that's found in lots of places. But I have found one of the most powerful points in this story is this. Just like the concentration test, neither the sheep in helping and loving and serving saw Jesus in their midst, nor did the goats. They did not have any clue who they were rejecting, not seeing, for it was the Lord. Both groups, note with me, are puzzled. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or naked or in need? So note with me this important take home as we seek to give back after we have enjoyed our Thanksgiving meals. Because Jesus is present everywhere in the world, we are always to act with compassion and care. Why? Because Jesus is everywhere present. When human beings choose to act with justice and generosity, when we choose to act with kindness, then we are learning how love and decency prevail over evil. Friends, we live in very, very challenging days. And Jesus here keeps trying to help us to learn how to see, to learn how to live, to learn how to love, and to serve as God's treasured, chosen family. And so let us prepare and be ready for that day when the Son of Man comes in His glory and the angels with Him. For then He will sit on His throne in glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep and the goats. Let us pray. O holy God, fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit, and like that ancient prayer of forgiveness, we always pray to you to forgive us for what we have done and what we have failed to do and left undone. Shape us in the ways of courage and commitment, and give us, we pray, eyes to see your family and to be in sync with your grand promises for us and the world you came to save, always following Jesus. Amen.